It's New Year's Eve in 1999. Everyone seems to be a little tense and nervous for the countdown into the new year. Y2K is upon us, and everyone claims it's impending doom that the world is going to end. So might as well hop on with some games, friends. If the world's going to end, better go out having fun. You have everyone start to count down. 10, 9, 8, 7. You take a deep breath. Here it goes. 6, 5, 4, 3. Fireworks go off in the distance as everyone starts to cheer. You look around. You made it. No impending doom. Well, time to carry on and see what the future holds for games. Welcome to our third episode of the Eras Tour as we go into the history of gaming and what's going on in the 2000s. As always, I am your host, one of your hosts, Mike. This is the Whiskey Sticks. And man, I'm really excited for this one. We got a lot going on. But first, let me get the fellas in here. Josh, Thomas, how you doing, fellas?
What up? What up? I have got my drink. I'm ready to talk some video games. We're finally far along in this to where, you know, this is your wheelhouse, fellas. I'm looking forward to this. It should be fun.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? I am one of your hosts, Josh. Very nice to meet you. May the fourth be with you. You know, Nerd. Star Wars fans out there. Today, in my cup of drink of choice, Hypnotic. Came out in 2001, right? Since we're going over the 2000s, decided to make a nice little drink with Hypnotic here. We got Malibu, some pineapple juice, and Hypnotic. Very nice, cool, refreshing drink. So,
what do you call that one, Josh?
It is called a Hypnotic Breeze.
Hypnotic Breeze. Yes, as always, we live in the same house. I'm drinking the same damn thing. Thomas, don't look at me like that. You've already been on like 3 or 4 episodes where Josh always comes up with some Alcoholics Anonymous dream.
I'm disappointed. The drink of the times was an Incredible Hulk.
Y'all didn't make an Incredible Hulk.
We got Hypnotic Breeze.
Yeah. Well, wow. Josh is a little on the... You are going to make someone a great wife one day. Wow. Yeah, he's his mother's son. Tanya, shout out to you for the, what's that? Malibu rum? Tanya all day. That's a key ingredient in the mommy juice. But like I said, I'm drinking the same thing. Thomas, what you got over there?
So I've actually got something a little different. This came off of a trip to Louisiana. It is called JT Melick. The bottle's over here on my shoulder. It is a Louisiana handcrafted rice whiskey. It's a little different.
For the fans at home, he's reading the bottle right now, so I'm going to give him a little read time, right? He's looking. Look. Beautiful bottle.
I'm presenting it too, nice. Damn it. I'm not just readers here. If we had a video version of the show, you'd see me show and tell. But It's a good bottle. It's 96 proof. It's 48% alcohol by volume. And it's something, you know, it's a little curveball in my repertoire.
How's that hand feel? Like in the hand? Is that a good bottle in the hand?
I mean, it's proper size.
Can I yoke
size.
That bitch around by the neck?
It doesn't fit it up.
You could.
Okay. Yeah, right.
You
know,
I could definitely carry the bottle like a badass if you wanted to. Like, I'm going to drink this whole thing. I'm not. I'm going to have a glass. But you could act that way if you wanted.
Look, if any distillers are out there listening to this podcast right now, if you come out with a bottle that has a brass knuckle grip, I'll buy it. Ooh. I'll buy them all. That sounds super cool. Like, right around the neck, just little finger holes. Like, man, this is made for drinking. I don't need no glass. I'm here for it.
I'm sure there's quality and standards for that. There's a reason there's not one out there.
Dude, I'm just saying, you know, own, like, you flip it around, dude, you've now got like a glass mallet.
Yeah, a deadly weapon.
Yeah, look, they're gonna do it anyways. May as well find a selling point. So, quick nod to Josh, our social media manager. And yes, I've promoted him over time. He's been doing the whiskey fit. He's got the Whiskey Sticks Instagram going. I see those posts coming out live. I think the last one came out late, so we'll talk about that offline. But no, I'm just kidding. And then, as always, Thomas, our sports analyst, is going to give us the update. The Houston sports.
So, I have a tall glass, like a whiskey glass, but a tall like. Beverage glass full of this whiskey because the Houston sports scene likes to hurt us. This weekend has been the worst for Houston sports, Friday excluded. Friday, the Rockets were able to get a dub, force a game 7 in their crib, something that, you know, the experts thought they were going to win. 3-point favorite, you know, definitely felt like they had an opportunity to get something done. Alas, only a handful of the actual players decided to show up and play. They lost to the Golden State Warriors in seven games. Their season is over. And we are now Minnesota Timberwolves fans. I feel like the sports gods don't believe in allowing Houston sports to win, like all their teams to win. So when the Astros lost earlier in the day, I was cool with it because it was like, look, they had to die so the Rockets could fly. They did not. So the Astros lost. The Rockets lost. Oh, by the way, the Dynamo lost yesterday in LA 2-0.
You all right over there, buddy?
Absolutely.
You okay?
You know, I might get somebody to check on me here in a little while just to make sure. You know, I tried to put like all the sharp objects away, but you never know. Just
we
horrible,
can have Josh,
man,
with his fresh shaved face just sleep on your couch.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds scarier than.
Wow. Thank you.
For the people that cannot see this, Josh has shaved the beard and I don't know how to feel about it. It's a really different, weird look.
I got two words for it. It's called wet cat. That's what he looks like right now. Just feeling it come right out of the lake.
You know, new month. We're rolling into summer. You know, why not? Get some change. It grows back. It's fine.
Nah, he's lying. He's got warrants out there. He's hiding. It's the only reason you do that.
I mean, some people, it's like, look, you say clean shaven because your beard looks jacked up. Some people rock the beard because the beard just like completes the look. I can't remember seeing Josh as an adult without the beard, and it's just absolutely messing me up right now. I don't know what to think.
I mean, like, to be fair, like, since I moved up here, like, I have not shaved the beard. And I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, let's give people what they want. Let's you know,
who's asking for that?
Who wants this?
There's a couple people out there that wanted
to. I need you to define popular demand.
All right, there was a demand. All right, I'm not saying
it was popular. There was one demand. It was a very nice man. He helps me with rent. He's like, I just go clean in a maid outfit sometimes. That happens. He didn't like the beard.
Yeah. So wow. I had to go.
Okay. All right, fellas. So onward and upward. We're going to blast off into the 2000s. This was a very pivotal year for young Tomas. I believe you, enlisted in like 01, 02?
02.
02.
The winter of 02, December of 2002, I went to a MEP station in Louisiana and got on a little lawn dart to Dallas. Thunderstorm, thought I was going to die. Flew from Dallas to San Antonio. That's the weirdest route to get to San Antonio from where I was in Trinity. And spent the entire day up all night and then immediately hop on a bus, taking to Lackland Air Force Base, and the rest is history.
Yeah, no. See, I don't know if I'd trade you because I would rather do the winter in San Antonio than the dead of summer. Like, I got to Lackland Air Force Base, like, in the middle of June, like, the beginning of June. And, yeah, we did June, July, and
you
August.
You went for your birthday? That's a weird flex.
Yes. No, it was awful. Don't ever do basic for your birthday. but, yeah, no, it was terrible. Wouldn't do it again. And, yeah, then it's somehow for tech school, I went further south to Goodfellow Air Force Base, which was worse. Like, we downgraded as time went on. And I was like, anywhere but here, anywhere. And they shipped me off to Northern California. And then I just stopped asking. I was like, never mind. Just don't. If you're gonna hurt me, surprise me with it. I don't want to ask for anything. Awful. No, but yeah, everybody should join. It's a fun time. So, Thomas, tell me what you were doing outside of you were in tech school early 2000s. You know, you were a man. What?
You went further south. I went further north. I ended up in Wichita Falls, which is right on the border of Texas and Oklahoma. Definitely still really cold there, having to march to and from, you know, the dorms to, you know, where we were training at. And then from there, I went to New Jersey. So it was just freeze your balls off immediately. But I mean, when I wasn't, you know, doing all the military stuff, I was definitely, you know, gaming, watching movies, stuff like that. I mean, for me, I will never forget the LAN parties that we had in the dorm room where it was, you know, four Xboxes, four TVs, two dorm rooms, and just absolutely going to war back and forth, splitting the teams up. I mean,
that is local area network for some of you younger cats out there. Like, I know y'all don't know what that is. We're using Ethernet cords for like the first time. It was like, you know, trying to disconnect bomb wires to hook up these LAN parties. But no, great times. With that, I'd like to start our episode with PC gaming, which is gonna take a big turn here, jumping into popularity. So we're jumping to the 2000s. Just happy to be alive and that the world didn't end. Our first topic isn't a console, as I mentioned. We're going to talk about PC gaming and the creation of the platform Steam. As technology was changing, so was the demands for better PC gaming up until this point. Consoles were more popular. They're more accessible. But yeah, the major upgrade from dial-up was huge in this time frame because everybody remembers dial-up. Your mom would pick up the phone. You're trying to play video games and you get that whatever noise that is. It was really annoying. I couldn't make it up if I wanted to, but I know what it is in my heart because it haunts my nightmares. Let's see here. 2000s computers only had one core and one thread, but by 2009, they get up to 12 cores and two threads per core. PC gaming had to find a way to compete with consoles, so every part of the PC was upgraded in this decade to make it better to game online. Still, in the early 2000s, PCs were fairly expensive. The most popular games in the early 2000s for PCs were Diablo II, Counter-Strike, Thomas, shoutouts, and The Sims franchise. What helped gaming on a PC become more popular was the release of Steam in September of 2003, and they also expanded to third-party titles in late 2005. Steam would become one of the largest digital distribution platforms with an estimated 75% of the market share. And later in life, in 2017, purchases through Steam totaled about $4.3 billion, which is 18% of all global sales. So that's a lot, right? That's insane. For some of us older, you know, gentlemen here, you remember your first PC. It was awful. The wires were gross. Everything was shades of gray, blue, pink, or shaded, faded red. Like, it was awful. And building a computer seemed like open heart surgery. Luckily now, we are in an era where building a PC is easier than some of these Lego sets I've seen out there. Thomas is the newest member of the PC Master Race and not only built his computer, but upgraded it and would go on to build his son's PC. Yeah, let's hear about that.
So I'll be honest, like the older generation, the 2000s PC was so difficult to game on. It kind of like forced me away from it. Like, played Counter-Strike with some buddies, had it set up, and it was absolutely painful to keyboard and mouse. It was like carpal tunnel just waiting to happen. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. I did it, you know, a couple of years, whatever, but always found my way back to console. It was just where I wanted to be. As far as like building PCs now, I got to give Mike all the credit because he's the one that kind of showed me the way. And I still lean on him for all the subject matter expert stuff. Hey, this is what I'm trying to do. What do you think? Should I do this? Should I do that? But to be able to, as an aircraft mechanic, to turn around and build a PC, which I was kind of like leery about in the beginning, it's kind of cool, you know. Thermal paste is a lot like some stuff we use when we build stuff. But at the time, it seemed like, yo, I'm really like building a bomb or defusing a bomb or something. And
gotta be able to field strip your machine, clean it, put it back together, blindfolded. I will say, as a console guy myself for the longest time, like nothing has a stronger like sense of authority than the little holographic sticker on the back of your Xbox that says, if you pop this off, you void the warranty, right? Granted, you probably had the Xbox for 10 years and you're like, I'm not taking it apart. I refuse. Bro. I don't want to void the warranty. I don't want to get in trouble. Government agencies. But Josh, when's your earliest PC experience? Were you PC gaming at this point in life? Or are you still holding onto your mom's? Never mind.
Actually, yeah. One of my...
Spoiled. Privileged. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough
I had to share with
to
my
have
brothers.
A PC. And yes, that was the downside.
I was always on the PC.
And so one of my fondest memories was actually RuneScape. You know, I was just searching through the web, you know, finally once Google got, you know, all its shit together. But just searching through the web, and I came across this game called RuneScape. It came out in 2001. And since I started playing it, hooked. And I mean, absolutely hooked. Just like, I would be, you know, at school, talking to my friends and everything. Two friends that I had. And just wanting just to be home every single day to come and play this game. And yes, just like you mentioned, I did have to share the PC, which was terrible. And lo and behold, my little brother, Pablo, shout out, he ended up really liking the game as well. So much so that he still plays to this day. I'm on and off here and there.
Yeah, no, you can't get me on that game. That's so low quality.
Like, it's fun, though.
Is it?
Because like, so one of the biggest things that I liked about the game is that not only can I be playing the game, but doing something else at the same time. I could be watching a show. I could be, you know, multitasking and doing something else. Because it's so easy to play the game unless you're trying to be lost. It's not even worth
playing. You're absolutely right. No, but some fun facts here. RuneScape has 300 million accounts created and was recognized by the Guinness World Records as the largest and most updated free MMORPG, which is massive multiplayer online role-playing game. Whoa. In 2018, it was reported that over $1 billion in revenue from this free-to-play game, Josh, has been generated since the game first launched. So I'm here for it. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of the game, but I definitely need bells and whistles. So I have played more World of Warcraft than I have played that game. I did download RuneScape when they threw out, like, what is it, that RuneScape Classic or Old School RuneScape? Did they run back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, everybody's playing. I was like, I'll hop in. I'll check it out. Regretted that decision. Never get that time back. it is what it is, right? But yeah, no, a lot of great things came out of PC, but you know, me and Thomas were a bit more on the console side. So I can talk about it a little bit, but I know Thomas will have a lot more to say than I do. But in the year 2000, the PlayStation 2 was released, varied on what month, depending on where you live in the world, but quickly became the best-selling console of all time. It has 160 million units worldwide, triple the combined sales of the other competing sixth-generation consoles, which just suggests the consoles it released around the same time. In addition to being a gaming console, it also had a built-in DVD drive and was priced competitively with standalone DVD players, which enhanced its value. The other draw to the PlayStation was that you could also play the first-generation games of the original PlayStation on it. The gaming library from PlayStation was larger than any other console at the time, with a library of over 4,000 game titles, generating 1.5 billion copies sold of their games. So, again, the PS2 is iconic. I wasn't really a PlayStation guy, never have been. But I will open the floor to the boys. Thomas, if you want to start us off with your PlayStation memories.
Yeah, PlayStation for me was like where it started, right? So I know if anybody talks to me now, anybody that knows me now, I'm Xbox through and through. Now, there was a couple of titles that we'll talk about that definitely guided me that way. But before I got there, you know, I was a PlayStation 1 guy and PlayStation 2 guy. I mean, those were, it was the sexy, like, because for people that remember, like, gaming consoles at that time, when PlayStation 2 came out, it really just changed the game. Like, it was sleek. It had a design that, you know, you would feel like it was a part of an entertainment center in your home. You know what I mean? It was something you added as like a flex. I mean, it really was like, you know, it almost didn't seem like a gaming console. It was like the next evolution of gaming consoles. You know what I mean? Obviously, you could use it to play DVDs and you would stack mountains of them bad boys next to it. You know what I mean? Whether it was games on the left and movies on the right, you know, everything was just sleeker. The controller was one of the best controllers at the time, you know, coming up with the addition of the extra buttons. And I mean, I can't tell you how many hours I logged, but I just know that I don't think we would be here as gamers without that console.
Josh, where you at on this PS2 conversation?
So for me, very earliest that I can say about the PlayStation 2.
You always
2,
smile, dog. You can just talk, but they can't see the smile.
I'm excited. So, I'm excited. You know, all these memories coming back. It's exciting. So my very first memory, you know, with the PlayStation 2 actually was ATV Off-Road Fury. My God, how many hours would I put on that game? Granted, it was the only game I had. But neither here nor there. It was such a fun game. So many, you know, you can play multiplayer as well, race against each other. Such a cool game. And, you know, like Thomas was saying, I did love that factor of, like, you know, it was more so of like a home entertainment system. You could play your movies on there. You could play your games on there. I thought that was really, really cool for
everything. I do at this point in time, Josh is like 11 or 12. Maybe
somewhere around there. Yeah, thanks for telling my age, by the way.
Wow.
But yeah, PlayStation 2, I feel like really set the standard and pushed everybody forward into like, hey, like we got to make better consoles now for sure. One of the neat things that I did like about the PlayStation that actually came out afterwards that not many people knew at the time was that you could actually flip that little logo, whether if you had it standing or laying down, which I thought was really neat.
Did that increase the value? How was your experience when you flipped the PlayStation symbol to the side?
Amazing. Amazing. Now, words cannot fathom.
If you want to talk about a console, a man's console, we talk about the Xbox, right? And the Xbox and that loading screen, the original Xbox loading screen, the green,
yeah,
where you jam your music, your bootleg discs, that's what I'm talking about. So the Xbox was released in North America in November 15th, 2001. Which was the very first gaming console based around the Windows operating system, software, and games. It was created to be in direct competition to the PlayStation 2. The original Xbox had modest sales, but Microsoft took a large financial loss to support it. The performance of the system was sufficient enough to keep Microsoft making it and has now become a direct competition to the Sony PlayStation years to come. 24 million units have been sold. 16 million of those have been sold in North America. However, Microsoft has been unable to make a steady price off of the console as far as greens, reds, blacks go, financially speaking, have lost over $4 billion during its market life. The system outsold the GameCube and the Sega Dreamcast, but was outsold by the PlayStation 2. Xbox had the most successful launches in video game history, with unit sales surpassing 1 million just after 3 weeks and rising to 1.5 million by the end of 2001. Now, yeah, I know you're talking about PlayStation, and we didn't even bring up Gran Turismo, but you know, it's a racing sim.
I was waiting my turn.
Oh, well, you know, you can talk about Gran Turismo if you want to, but I get really excited about my Xbox. So we'll take a pin, and we will talk about some PlayStation titles. I may have gotten ahead of myself. Sorry, I got excited.
So for me, I didn't get into titles because I thought we were just talking about the console in general. But I mean, some of the titles are just so iconic. Like when you talk about the Maddens, when you talk about Gran Turismo, when you talk about early on 2K stuff. I mean, these were like the launching pads for some of the stuff that we have today. And you needed those titles that I think some of them were PlayStation exclusives. And it really, you know, started this rift where it was like you had to pick a side. You had to choose, am I going to be a PlayStation guy or am I going to be an Xbox guy? And there were some really great titles on both sides. You know, Metal Gear Solid, you know, was a PlayStation title that was just, what am I going to do? Like, some people ran out and bought both. That's how crazy it was.
Josh, any of your favorite titles on PlayStation besides Off-Road Fury?
I mean, that's just mainly you what picked, I grew like, up with.
The 257th pick of the draft you started with. You're like, hey, this
Let
game.
Let me start with Mr. Irrelevant.
I can't say I had too many games on there. The main thing that I remember playing was all the EA games. You know, you had, you know, all the show, all the baseball, the football, the soccer games on there. I remember playing that a lot.
Boxing.
Fight Night. Which was crazy, which was great, right? Not only can you, you know, if you had any beef with anybody, hey, okay, settle it on the PlayStation real quickly, which I thought was really cool. Granted, some of those games were a little broken, the fact that you could implement your own team to play against somebody else. So I thought that was really cool, though. But games are a lot of fun.
So some of the other titles that they had mentioned were like Grand Theft Auto, which is a household name now. Who'd have thought a game about crime and violence was going to be like acceptable in everyone's homes? Well, the time is now. So in the early 2000s, gaming was rapidly growing. And as you know, something grows, there's going to be somewhere out there where people are not happy about it. Haters are everywhere. They faced several controversies revolving around content, violence, and potential negative impacts on players, mostly the younger players, right? Nobody cares about us. You know, us three here, we're a little too old for anybody to worry about us. But the Grand Theft Auto franchise is one of the main games that picked up the most attention for its violent and offensive content. It led to protests and legal actions, including Mayor Bloomberg of New York pressuring the game company to remove the line. We all know this didn't work, considering they're still producing games. Another negative that people tried to point out was that it was extremely addictive and could cause addictive behavior for young kids and teens. They could all grow up to look like Josh.
Wow.
Overall, people tried to say that the games helped push the hatred and violence in some young kids. Even with all the negativity, the gaming community continued to grow and thrive. As they say, all publicity is good publicity, and it shows considering the GTA kept pumping out games, and Rockstar mm-hmm. were going to be really successful with those games. So, that being said, that's a life lesson, right? Don't let a hater hold you down. You can do it anyways.
Yes, sir.
But did you guys play a lot of like Vice City, San Andreas, anything like that? Grand Theft Auto 3. I remember the top down. You're shooting around in circles, old school GTA, right? Yeah. None of this cool, fun 3D stuff. Like, this is like, I'm committing crimes from the sky.
I mean, like the fact that we got GTA 1 through 4, was it? Like, in the 2000s was insane. But yeah, I remember more so San Andreas, Vice City, a lot more. And it was just a lot of fun, having, that little disc case, right? And then also having all the little cheats stored in there. You're like, oh, you know what? Let me just summon, infinite cash real quickly. Let me just go have fun.
Cheating? Right. What? Josh?
Oh, never.
Bro. Sorry.
No, never.
Wow. No,
for a friend, right?
Oh, yeah. For a friend. That's yeah. Wild. Yeah. I played that game honestly. I ran semi-legitimate businesses. But no. So, we'll take a quick second to talk about the GBA because it is important. It did come out in August of 2000, which obviously the Game Boy owns the mobile department, and it only picked up steam with the GBA, which would feature like the screen in the middle, the buttons on the right, the sticks on the left. It sounds just like the Game Gear. It's crazy. It's almost like Nintendo absorbed it. So there's that. However, yeah, no surprise, the best-selling games for the GBA were the Pokemon games. The top three selling were Ruby and Sapphire and Fire Red. Behind it, you had Leaf Green and then Pokemon Emerald. These were all 16.2 million, 12 million, 7 million. Like Mario Kart Super Circuit on the go only did 5.9 million. So Pokemon just was like, hey, thanks, Game Boy. We're just going to own everything you do forever now. Like, this is our console. You can put other games on it, but let's be honest. This is the show. It's Pikachu. It's Eevee. Nobody cares about anything else. But yeah. Now, I would like to pivot back to the Xbox because that's where I found my heart in gaming. Thomas, lead us off. What is Halo? If you were going to explain Halo to somebody who'd never seen Halo, and other than where's the rock you've been hiding under, like, talk to me about some Halo.
I mean, much like Josh, I really wanted to talk to y'all about ATV Quad Power Racing 2 or AMF Bowling because those were near and dear to my heart as well. No, that's not true at all. I don't know what he was talking about. Clearly, we moved on to bigger and better things. Halo Combat Evolved. When I spoke about these LAN parties, that was one of the major games that we played. We had Xboxes, and we linked them up, and it was 4v4 throwdown. I can't tell you how many nights, till dawn, drinks and Halo, and went to war, order some pizzas, and that was your Friday night entertainment, your Saturday night entertainment. One of the best game titles ever. I mean, we could debate it, but I don't think there's any reason to debate it. They're still making Halo content to this day. It's was one of my first loves as far as an Xbox. It's why I moved over from PlayStation. Halo was that game, the ultimate story, go into the future, hero, they have to chemically change him, make him a super soldier, and he's got to go defeat this alien race to save humanity. And I mean, had me hook, line, and sinker, played that thing religiously, probably logged more hours on that game and all their subsequent games than anything else ever in the, I don't really want to say how many years I've been gaming, but in all the years of gaming.
Decades. Moving forward, so Halo Combat Evolved would come out in 2001, which is your first-person shooter. And honestly, looking back, the graphics were not there for me. however, they were there for Thomas and his people. Back then, I'm sure it looked awesome. It was like, man, look at this. Blood Gulch looks crazy. Like, it's
that
cool.
Was
I like
the
it.
Standard at the time. Obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
We have evolved.
yeah. No. Combat did, in fact, evolve. Josh, did you want to touch Halo Combat Evolved before I move on?
Yeah, real quickly. I mean, that was such a great game, especially being in school, knowing that you could play that in school. Everybody would bring in their little USB drives. We're like, you know what? We got some time. Let's all hop on Halo, play a little quick game of Capture the Flag. Why not? And I mean, not only that, like, there was so much developer, right, editing with these, like, different maps that people would put in so many hidden spots, which was amazing, by the way. You just load up in a game where you would think it's just, like, you know, assault rifles and, you know, pistols against assault rifles and pistols, and somebody shows up with a rocket launcher or an energy sword or a sniper, and you're like, where'd you get that? That's not on the map. And then, lo and behold, there's a little secret spot where you can get a sniper. And you're like, well, that ain't fair. But I thought that was really cool. You know, the fact that it gave these people freedom to be able to customize these maps, you know, to however they wanted to play it. I found myself having a lot of fun, especially in school with this game. Yeah.
No, that is a fun point to touch on. You could at some point get Halo Combat Evolved on a school computer. Yeah. A lot of people got in trouble. A lot of people didn't. Fun was had all the same.
Mm-hmm.
However, as much as I like Combat Evolved, it sold, you know, 5 million copies. That's cute. I dig it. Halo 2 and my dual-wielding needlers would sell 8 million copies. And I feel like personally, that's when Halo really caught friction, you know, or traction, and really started to pick up, because that's the multiplayer we all love and know and remember. It is Halo 2 into Halo 3. Like, that era of, like, get you some was great. Along in that time frame, you also had games like Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, which Tom Clancy would go on to you know, inspire many a game. Fable 3, another iconic title, would sell 3 million copies. And the Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, would sell another 2.86 million copies. So there was a lot of games, and Xbox and Microsoft as a company were trying to dig their fingers deep into the pit of, like, this gamer pocket. And I mean, they're still up and running, so they've been pretty successful with it. Any other Xbox titles come to your mind?
I mean, more so than anything, a duel would be Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare would be. That would be more so on the 360 when I picked it up.
Yeah, sick.
Because the 360 would release in, what, 2005? Competing with the PlayStation 3 at this point and the Nintendo Wii that we haven't touched on yet. They expanded their online services, which expanded its free and subscription-based verities, allowing users to download games, play online, and get updates as soon as they dropped. This is like the era of the internet, the Xbox 360, and it was great because I, you know, living life, it's the best right now, right? The 360 was initially in short supply in many regions due to its high failure rate, known as the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys familiar with that term? I am.
Been there, never done
had
that.
It. It sucks. Yeah, no, yeah. I've never had it, but I'm familiar with the issue. Which was three flashing red lights around the power button instead of turning green, which represented normal operating. Microsoft initially was not able to supply enough systems to meet consumer demand and sold out completely. Upon re-releases in all regions but Japan, 40,000 units were offered for sale on eBay during the initial week of release, inventing scalping. So thanks, Microsoft. 40,000 units. No, we went there. 10% of total supply. By the end of the year, they had shipped 1.5 million units, including 900,000 in North America. As of 2013, 38.8 million units have been sold in the U.S. Of that, people would spend $14.5 million worth of copies on Halo 3 that was released in 2007.
Jesus.
Modern Warfare 2 would sell 13.49 million copies. GTA would sell 11.1, and that's GTA 4, right? Like, that was a turning point for GTA as well.
Yeah, I feel like at this point is where most of the games are like, okay, you know, we got to put some more work, some more effort into it, and you start really seeing a pivot into, like, the games that we have today.
Yeah. So
Call of Duty Black Ops 2 was, like, the game. That was the next great. I mean, obviously Halo 3 was peak, as the kids say. Lots of momentum off of 2, built into 3. 3 was continuing the story. I want to say that was finished the fight, even though that did not finish the fight. But I mean, there were so many great titles. Gears of War became a thing. You know, instead of going off world to find your aliens, they were buried inside. And now we got to fight them bad boys off. So Gears of War definitely put in some time. Ultimate two player, you know, go save the world, that kind of thing. For the guys that weren't into that sort of thing, there were games like Borderlands that came out. You know, I think that was a really big title for the zombie guys, because I know y'all are some zombie guys. Left 4 Dead 2. Well, and I think Left 4 Dead 1 were big titles. So just a couple titles you needed to know for that console.
I will go on record saying that Black Ops 2 released in 2012 because your boy was in Afghanistan. I played more of that game than any other Xbox title because it, very much like Josh, I'd like to say it's the only game I had, but you could play zombies for days.
Yeah.
I want to say that's the one where you had the original Black Ops 2? Was it Keener to Toten when they released that? But yeah, no, Black Ops 2 is near and dear to my heart. However, Thomas has a point. The Gears of War being the fifth top-selling game of the 2000s, selling 5 million copies. It was released for Xbox 360 and then had, you know, multiple titles later. It was developed by Epic Games. So think about that every time you play Fortnite. That's where Phoenix went. But yeah, no, the Nasher role in Gears of War, I feel like everybody knows what that's like. You've probably been on the receiving end of one called bullshit. Like, and the gruesome, like, game that it was. Like, you didn't just get shot and you, like, fall to the ground. Like,
no, you got murdered.
And the wall behind you both got decimated. Like, it was beautiful. Like, this is exactly what a young child needs in their life. But yeah, no. This also came around the time frame for like PlayStation 3, which was released in 2007. Mm-hmm. And in North America was built around the custom designed Cell Broadband Engine processor, which means zero. But it was the first console to use the Blu-ray discs, which is, you know, in the background of gaming, movies were coming up in quality. To be fair, it was also like the golden era of piracy, there you go, of like movies, digital media. I know a couple people personally that borrowed some music licenses and put them on their own discs. not looking at them.
Right.
But yeah, so it had an HDMI port and the first capable of outputting games in 1080p. They launched it alongside the PlayStation Network, a loan service, and supported remote play. Its launch had mixed reviews due to its high price point, which is $599 for the PlayStation 3, which would be equal to $930 in 2024 because inflation.
God,
the PS3 sold approximately 87.4 million units worldwide, surpassing the 360 and becoming the eighth best-selling console of all time. As of 2019, nearly 1 billion PS3 games had been sold worldwide. Among those who were released in this time frame, you had like Uncharted 2, Metal Gear Solid 4, Gran Turismo 5. Man, there was a cult following for Gran Turismo, and I was not a part of it. I really skipped out on all that until like Forza got their fingers on me later in life.
For me, GTA was great early on, and then as it got like better and better and better, it got harder and harder and harder. Felt like Gran Turismo. What did I say?
GTA.
We were talking about Gran Turismo? My bad. Yes.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yes. See, all these games are coming back together. Anyway.
I mean, to be fair, though, yeah, go ahead.
It was so hard because you were literally like working. Like, once I got out of that game, I felt like I needed to go like smoke a cigarette. I don't smoke, you know, because like I was stressed. Like, know, it was taxing mentally.
The more it got racing sim and the less it was just like racing fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of those kids that I'd never used the brakes in a racing game. Not in all my years, right? Like, yeah, like Need for Speed Underground 2. Like, I'm using cars in front of me as my handbrake. I'm just like, oh, cool. He's going to brake. I'll catch the left side of his car. We'll make this turn together. We'll do this together. You know, a little slingshot action.
I mean, yeah, like, I agree. Like, what the game was at Midnight City? Midnight Club on the PSP. Oh, my God. Such a great game. Freaking love it. We played hours through that trying to unlock every single cars. Yeah.
Does the PSP go in here? Can we talk PSP? I've got mine. It's in the other room.
That's gross. You still
have it. Yo, man, it got me through many a deployment between the disc that you could watch movies and then like the whole, I didn't know we were able to use that here. I can't remember when that came out, but definitely needed it.
Oh, no, yeah, 100%. I mean, and the fact that it gave you that versatility, you know, like I know Mikey was talking about the PlayStation 3. Granted, it did come with Blu-ray, which I feel like a little bit more on the price tag. That's why it was probably a little bit more expensive, too. I understand it came with a little bit more bells and whistles. But, yeah, I mean, like, Sony just killing it. Also with this portable device that you could take wherever you want, play on your favorite game. Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, Thomas is a traitorous bastard. I watched him put a PSP into a bag with a Halo Zune, and it was like, what are you doing? Pick a side.
I still have the Halo Zune, too. I still have it.
It's a collector's item at this point.
I had to show it to your nephew because he was like, really? Because we were watching Guardians of the Galaxy where the dude's like, here, this is a Zune. And I'm like, yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, right? They're like, what? Like, you're also a part of history? That's crazy.
I mean, that's what was hot though. Like the Zune took off in that time.
Look, sure. Yeah. There used to be a fight before the iPod figured out how to just corner the whole system.
Yeah.
I mean, and I never had a Zune. I always had like different things. Like I remember having an MP3 player that played movies and stuff on it, but I was like, man, like I never really invested in an MP3 player. Did not skip through it completely. Like if I had one, I got it for like a birthday or something from a friend. But it was never something that I was huge into. But I know that like at this point, like you're talking about like from 2000 to 2010. Like I have my anti-skip Walkman. I have that.
Wow.
You want to talk about some of that with a belt clip?
That's wild.
And like if I didn't have good music playing, I'd steal my dad's like Bronco CD and I'd be playing that at school. Like
it wasn't his. He stole it too.
Yeah.
Not worried about spending money on a CD ever.
Yeah. Somebody gave it to him as like a birthday present or Christmas present. You know how it goes. But yeah. To bring up the PSP, we also have to jump back into Nintendo. They're fighting. In this war that is quickly, as we talked about last episode, just falling into Nintendo. Now you have Xbox, and then there's the PlayStation, obviously. So the war has thinned out. All those Panasonic, the Magnavoxes, all of those cats, they've fallen out. They could not find footing in this race. But the Wii was a home video game console, ruining TVs ever since its release in 2006. It is Nintendo's fifth major home game console following the GameCube, which we do need to touch base on, but I'll get there. Due to Nintendo's reduced focus on computational power, both console and its games were less expensive to produce and its competitors, making it have an extremely popular launch and a short supply in markets. Within a year, the Wii became the best-selling console of its generation. Lifetime sales of the Wii reached 101 million units, also making it Nintendo's best-selling console until 2021, when it was surpassed by the Switch. The simplicity of its simple yet responsive controls helped broaden the audiences for the console, and its easy-to-navigate home screen. The only game I care to talk about for the Nintendo Wii is Wii Sports, that would sell 82.9 million copies, and that is the best bowling I've ever done in my life. That is it. Like it never got better. Like, that was the best. Do you guys have a Nintendo Wii game? Thomas doesn't strike me as a Nintendo Wii guy.
I was not. I did play Wii Sports. I think everyone had to, right? But it was like one of those things, like I quickly was like, you know what? Not my cup of tea. We did have it, but it wasn't something I played. You know what I played on there more than anything? I think I played Guitar Hero on there more than anything. I think that was the console that I ended up buying that for.
See, for me, it was PlayStation. Rock in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, for me, besides Wii Sport, because that was what came with it, one of the games I did find interesting a lot was Mario Galaxy, actually. That was a lot of fun, giving you that three, you know, back to that we talked about, you know, last episode with Mario 64, more so of the 3D aspect, being able to move around and everything, which I really enjoyed it. I thought that was a really, you know, cool game. But besides that, you also had Super Smash Bros. Brawl. You know, that was a lot of fun. Being able to, you know, duke it out with all your friends and everything. I thought that was really cool. That's definitely a game that's for sure up there and still stays, you know, relevant throughout, like, you know, today's day and age with the new ones that are out.
As I mentioned, we touched base on the GameCube because I skipped right past it because it was not one of my favorite, like, consoles. The little small discs made me feel weird. Our executive producer at this point, Taylor, this is her favorite console. The Nintendo GameCube was developed and marketed by Nintendo and released in November of 2001. So we skipped right past because of all the other cooler things that were happening. It was originally announced under the codename Dolphin. And then released as the GameCube. It was actually, I think I played Eco the Dolphin on a GameCube once. That's real. Echo? My bad.
I was like, you know what? His mama called him Eco. Nice. We're going to call him Eco.
Right. It was Nintendo's first console to use its own optical discs because at this point, PlayStation and Xbox are doing it too. Instead of its ROM cartridges supplemented by writable memory cards for saved games. Instead of focusing on multiple medias like DVD or CDs, it's focused on strictly gaming. It was praised for its controller and high DVD or CDs focused. No, I skipped right past that. Quality gaming library, but criticized for its lack of multimedia features. So the GameCube was just a purple brick. I think it even had a black handle on the back, if I remember correctly. But so it sold 21.74 million GameCube units worldwide, which was much fewer than they anticipated. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had a GameCube. It's not what I wanted, but I had a GameCube. You know, it's like we got video games at home. That's how I felt with the GameCube in my hand.
Oh, wow.
Notable games, the fact that they sold games at all. I'm a hater. I'll tell you right now. Mario-related top three selling games, totaling 20.1 million games sold. Legend of Zelda The Wind Walker would sell 4.43 million. Luigi's Mansion would sell 3.3 million. That's in the top list, Luigi's that's Mansion wild. Get the fuck out of here. No, that is the bottom tier. Animal Crossing, Taylor's first game she fell in love with, it's in the notes, I have to read it. Mario Party 4 sold 2.46 million copies. I could be bothered to play Mario Party at any given time. That's an okay time. It's definitely gotten out of control in our day and age now, but it was fun then for sure. And that was, in fact, Taylor's second favorite. So I did my job. You guys want to talk about the GameCube at all? Anybody?
It had the best memes.
Josh had the controller you want to talk about.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, I mean, the controller itself, especially for the best-selling game that GameCube had, right, which was Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Was it?
Yes.
Melee.
That controller for that game. everybody has a preference. But that controller was made for that, for fighting games, which I really liked, you know, had a good handle on it. And, you know, people really appreciated that controller, you know, being able to play, you know, Battle Royale, you know, 1v all, right? You can play 2v2s, you know, 1v everyone, which I thought was a lot of fun. One of my favorite games in the GameCube were the Mario Party franchise. 4 through 7 actually came out through GameCube, which I thought was really cool. Some of the best time that I've had in the GameCube was Mario Party. The only one that I could say I had some fun in was actually Mario Party Stadium. And I liked the whole 3D aspect of actually battling somebody in a 3D world, which I thought was a lot of fun. But, I mean, and I feel like when we were talking about...
You said that controller is optimized for anything. It is nuts.
I mean, it is. I mean, do you see
it what they like come out with now? It had like 17 buttons.
More or less. You know,
no, that's an odd number of buttons.
Okay,
I don't think optimization means more buttons.
We understand.
Get a keyboard.
We understand.
Quit fighting the system.
That Mike prefers very simplistic controllers. That's understandable.
Oh, sorry, wasn't your favorite one the Atari joystick and button? Shut up.
Yeah, those are his words, not ours.
But I mean, GameCube, and I feel like, you know, talking about how we were talking about the Nintendo 64 last episode, how they stayed with cartridges to be the only people to produce that. I feel like that's the same route they took here with the GameCube, creating those little mini discs.
They're like, how can we rub people wrong without saying anything at all?
Exactly. So right. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Now, do you want to say Nintendo 64 XDD or whatever it was we talked about earlier?
No, we didn't cover it. We didn't get to cover it. It's fine.
He had a really soft spot in his heart for this 64 XDD. He's like, yeah, it's like the real gamers know what I'm talking about.
Just how like the 64 DD didn't take off in real life. It didn't take off in the podcast either.
Yeah, really, really. That should tell you something, right? Even now.
Yeah.
Even now. So I mentioned in a previous episode that we would get to this point in life. The time is around 2007. It is spring break-ish. I think Thomas came back from a deployment. He had an Xbox 360. And I will leave it in his hands, and I will update him with accurate details if he gets them wrong.
Look, I don't tell this story because I'm not particularly proud of it. But to be fair...
Abusing children? You're not proud of that? That's crazy. Wow. That's crazy.
Hold on. I don't consider it abuse because A... It was not my idea. B, you wanted the smoke. I just obliged you. And C, you know, whatever. I don't know.
He has two kids now, and he's never let them win a game.
Oh, that's not true at all.
Are you letting them win?
I'm not letting them anymore. They're beating the shit out of me.
Yeah. Well, that's different, right? That's different.
Thomas is
the ultimate like anime bad guy that you step over to be better at games.
I'm Heihachi always.
Yeah, so, exactly. You gotta earn it.
I believe we played two games, one of which was Halo 2.
Hold on. Let's backtrack.
Oh, okay.
Because he sees the 360, he sees the box. It's like, oh, an Xbox. Okay. Well, let's play it. I'm like, I'm not really feeling it. You know what I mean? You know, what do you got? You know, Halo's in
there.
He was
too cool for little bro at this point. He was too cool.
I was not too cool. I just knew that it was not his cup of tea yet. Oh, you're probably not even good. I can beat you. Let's do it. You're scared. I was like, oh, I'm scared. Run it. That needs to be said. It was not, I'm going, come here, little guy. You want some of this?
No. He was in his white van with candies trying to coerce me to come play his games.
Nope.
I remember it differently. But we did play two games, one of which was Halo, the other of which was FIFA. And I would go on to lose both. I forget the score of the FIFA game. I was already defeated. However, the Halo 2 map in which we played was Lockout. It would feature mountaintop, ice, snow, and nothing underneath you, right? And that's important in the story because I lost 25-2. Shut up, Josh. We can run it right now.
Okay. Run it.
So all I'm saying is that like he gave me no quarter. Like he just abused me for what felt like an hour, but it was probably more like 7 minutes. I feel like in moments of trauma, time goes on longer than it should in your head. But yeah, no, he beat me in both games, and it would create a monster, whatever I became today, where I win the games.
Yo, I'm incredibly proud of the gamer that you are now because, you know, the trauma that I had to bestow on you, you know.
Bestow? That's crazy. Yeah, if that's not propaganda.
It's that tough love.
You know what I mean? You know, hey.
So, oh my God.
Pressure burst pipes or creates diamonds. I don't know.
Look, all I'm saying is like, if you would have just been, you know, the adult and been like, no, it's not a good time for you. And I maybe never make this podcast, maybe never game. Maybe I read books instead.
Exactly. Aren't you glad?
I could have been a doctor. Right. I could have been a doctor.
Yeah, but you're here instead.
Josh, you got any bad beat stories?
Yeah, by y'all.
I did nothing.
Every time I'd go over, you're like, oh, yeah, sure, play this game. I'm like, all right, cool. And then just beat me on it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to go
play
with crazy. The dog.
It's crazy. So Thomas was abusing all the children in the family is what I'm hearing, right? Like, that's the common denominator.
To be fair, it was not my idea.
To be fair, though, some of the other games I was playing, y'all would help me through them, which was nice. Okay, this is just only the multiplayer games, which is, you know, everybody fending for themselves, I understand. But yes, y'all were there to help me through struggles in other games, which was nice.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could be an important factor in your life.
I'm glad that that's what you took out of that.
So, Onward and Upward. Did I miss anything in the 2000s, boys? Did we skip over any consoles that you're near and dear to your heart? Any titles that you really care to get into right now?
Near and dear.
Because Josh always leaves the episode with regret, and I don't know how he does it.
Last
episode was 2 hours long. How did you leave with anything off the table?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. We had such a great time. Yeah. No, I mean, we pretty much covered everything that we wanted to. So I think that's good.
So to my next surprise segment that I just keep throwing out there because it's a fun time for me. We're going to do ESPN's not top 10, right? Like, so I want to hear the worst games that you played along your journeys in this time frame. I have a list of some options, which I find ironic, but I'd like to get your input first on games that you played and disliked and wish you never did.
Worst, this is hard.
Worst games. Well, I'm just asking for memory. You know, nothing crazy. There's no quiz. There's no tests. The scores aren't processed.
For me, the one that I remember distinctly, and it's really because I just know very little about this game, was NHL. I can't remember the year, but I'm not a hockey guy. They don't play hockey in Texas, or at least in Houston anyway, and we don't recognize Dallas for shit. So there was no hockey. So, I mean, I'm more knowledgeable now, but it was just a horrible game because I had no idea. And then
you get into fights and lose. You didn't know the buttons.
Exactly.
It was a rough time.
And then if I got to be very honest, and this will probably be something that will, you know, kind of even the scales a little bit. There was a jump puzzle in Destiny, which we haven't got there, but I'm scarred that much that you know, that's something we're going to talk about.
Destiny will never go on the bottom of anyone's list. It's comfortably in the middle.
It's not even a 2000s game, but, you know, I'm that
it's
hurt.
Scarred. Yeah, yeah. Right. I will name one that I actually did play that did make my list here, and that's Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
Oh, damn.
There was a time in life where Mortal Kombat had done well and it was trying to do more. And you'll remember, like, the Shaolin Monks and all the other games that they came out with, like Mortal Kombat Advance, which I will say that Special Forces ranked as 41st worst game ever made on a list that I found. And Advance was known as an absolute embarrassment to the Mortal Kombat franchise. And I agree. There was a weird, like, I don't want to call it like an awkward teenage phase, where like Mortal Kombat was trying to like take the next step but didn't know where to go. And they stepped in all the wrong spots for a good while there. They could not make a good game. So, Josh, I know you've been doing some research over there. You find something yet?
The only games that I can remember that I specifically stayed away from were all the like cartoon games that were coming out, like Rugrats or like the Thornberries, like movies and shows that they would try to make into a game that I'm just like, okay.
Try and replicate the success of TMNT.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, I was never a huge fan of like any of those games. None of them were ever memorable to me and actually stuck to be like, oh, this is fun. It was only the nostalgia of like, oh, I watched the show, I should play the game. But it wasn't the same.
So there's also like The Simpsons Wrestling, which came out in 2001 and is declared the most horrific demolition of a license ever known. Like in the realm of that, right? Games you're talking about where it's like licensed games, like it's always really hard to recreate the magic, and I still find that true. I think the best one to do it off the top of my head is probably like South Park, but that's a really simply animated situation. I remember back in these days you play like what is it, like the snowball fight or whatever with South Park, but then they would go on to make like the Stick of Truth or the Fractured Butthole.
Those
were great licensed adaptations, but I feel like it's a really hard thing to connect those two. Because you also had like Batman Dark Tomorrow in 2003 that had no direction to the game whatsoever, but they were trying to force things out. And they were trying to make money on top of money and get these, maybe try to get like the studios to buy in. Like, hey, make a movie, make a show, we'll make a game, it'll make money all day long. And like they failed a lot here. A lot of people fall on their faces. We would know Batman to go on to make like Arkham Knight, which was a solid release in that whole series. There was also like Tomb Raider. That was the Angel of Darkness in 2003. Because we all remember from the 90s, Tomb Raider. right? But Tomb Raider, The Angel of Darkness was placed fifth in the top 10 worst sequels ever.
God damn.
Yeah, right? Like, so there's a lot of awful out there. more than enough to go around. Some of these other ones that I do not know are like Drake of the 99 Dragons, which is 2003. It was a good idea. They went horribly astray and ended up a disaster. You had Big Rigs Over the Road Racing. They were not good with the details. When you won, it said over the top, you did it. We were provided with a picture. It's like a star, a really poorly drawn star. Like, they did not consider a star actually looks. I'll send that picture out to you guys later, or you can Google it. It's Big Rigs Over the Road Racing, Your Did It, and you will get that picture. The guy game was one of the worst games of all time, described as a salacious and misogynist game. So,
wow.
Which brings me to the memory of Leisure Suit Larry, which is how you do salacious right. Right? Like, that game was a spicy game as a young man. But Lula 3D in 2005, every mistake that could be made while making a game was made in this game. So I feel like I almost have to go find these games and watch videos on them to see how bad they actually were.
To be fair, we could actually do that on, you know, the gaming social. Play the worst games possible.
Right. You know? No, that sounds awful. I don't know who wants to watch that.
Yeah, why not?
Those are awful. Hey, guys, we heard these games suck. We want to play them for you and prove that they suck.
Right? Like, that's a tough sell for me, like, to take time out of my day to watch you play a game that sucks, and you knew it sucked going in. You also had Ninja Bread Man that was released in 2005. Was sadly a broken mess and had no glimmer of innovation, received a 1 out of 10 from most reviewing companies. So
I guess I did really good not playing bad games.
Well, you don't like to get outside of your comfort zone. Like,
I really don't.
I feel like you line it up. And the fact that you play Pokemon on your phone now is crazy to me, because you couldn't have sold Thomas Pokemon if you put money on top of it.
Still can't.
In previous years. So all I'm saying is he plays Pokemon. He can deny it, but he still plays Pokemon, whether it's on a phone app or a GBA, which we mentioned today, like, still Pokemon. And all that rhymed is what I meant to say.
I had some coworkers put me on it. I put y'all listen on to them. It. Mm. Hold on. Did I not put you on the game or not?
To be fair, I would have found out anyways.
You would have, but I still put you on. So it's not that I don't care for Pokemon. It was just past my time. Like, you know what I mean? There was like certain things that are just, I wasn't a Dora Explorer or Diego guy either. Sorry. You know, I just wasn't young then. Like,
yeah, how Pokemon, do you feel about Bluey?
Definitely not that either.
Definitely not that.
That more your speed?
Heard the guy's a pedophile, or is that, that's a different one, right? I don't know.
You know, I can't confirm nor deny. I think you're talking about Blue's Clues.
Maybe, that's what
very, I mean. Very close titles. They use the same infrastructure to make the shows. But something else I wanted to touch base on with you guys, because I know it was impactful for me and kind of brought me to where we are today, is like the pro gaming circuit in the 2000s. It really took off with like the MLG, and you had a lot of gaming organizations that were coming together. And I remember my favorite, like, Halo team was like straight ripping. Like, I was like, yo, I will watch those guys do anything. This is like the era of like early YouTube. We had montages the guys would make, and like, it really like resonated with me, because I was like, man, this is awesome. I want to be awesome. And I've been trying ever since. Still haven't gotten there yet, but trying ever since. But like, do you guys remember like the gaming scene as far as like professional gaming, or like that monetization of gaming that took place in the 2000s?
I remember I didn't think it would make it. I remember thinking, you know, who's going to pay for this? And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, you know,
you got Ninja.
Now you've got, yeah, him and Beast and all kinds of people, you know, making money and like stupid money, like FU money, who just play video games, and for people to watch them play video games. And, you know, we know of military gaming community that, you know, will promote your streams if you want it. And I mean, it's crazy how big, you know, the gaming scene's gotten, you know, whether you do it for your stream or you go professionally and check it out. So it's really interesting to see how far it's going to go, what's going to happen, where does it stop? I mean, you've got MLS, which is Major League Soccer. You have guys that play you like four clubs, and it's on gaming. Like you know, they have their own leagues. You have guys that play Madden. You know,
you got like the 2K league as well. Yeah, like a season long. Like they play games. The gaming community Thomas had mentioned was Regiment Gaming, of which I believe we are all members currently. We definitely don't use it to its fullest potential, but do appreciate it existing. I know there's a lot of guys that I came across in the military that were like gamer-centric kind of guys. And, well, I was in intelligence. So, yeah, a lot of gamer nerds, a lot of computer cats. But, no, it's super cool. I think that the development of these communities kind of pulled people out of their awkward, introverted, safe spaces. Yeah. And they now are like networking and gaming and hanging out with other people. I think that's super cool. I don't know, like I said, about the whole Thomas story, where if I would have gone this direction, if it wasn't for like the idea that Major League Gaming was a thing. And now you can get scholarships for gaming. Like there are full blown universities that have esports scholarships you can go out there and get, which I think is awesome. Now that Josh is shaved, I think he could qualify for one. So
definitely lost about 5 years.
At least, bro, maybe seven. He turned 30. He was like, I don't like the beard anymore.
No, I mean, you know, just time for change. But, you know, like y'all were talking about, like these games, like you have like people like Max Verstappen, NASCAR, the F1 driver, who, you know, somebody who's just as talented on the game. Because not only does he race a F1, you know, car, he also plays the game. And there was actually an instance where he was late to his actual race because he was finishing up an actual video game, which was insane. You know, so, you know, you get these people who are, you know, just like us, enjoying ourselves, playing video games and stuff, something that we enjoy and we love and we put all our practice into and become great at it, that get to meet these people, which I think is really cool that video games has brought the community as a whole together. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah, so as the 2000s rolled around, esports gained serious momentum. Tournaments hosts such as the World Cyber Games and the Electronic Sports World Cup debuted, followed by the launch of the Major League Gaming in 2002. Today, the MLG is considered one of the most prominent hosts in esports. Because, I mean, you had, like, anything and everything that you could play that people would watch. Like, I know fighting tournaments are really big still. Not as big as, like, MOBAs. But like there's still a crowd and like people can make a name for themselves. We play a game nowadays called Smite, and I remember watching those guys play, trying to learn what they're doing and get better. And you would quickly learn that like the competitive circuit is a lot different than like how you'd play a casual game. You good over there, John?
Oh yeah, I'm great. I'm peachy.
It's just giggles, straight giggles. For those who can't see him, he's probably had one too many at this point. He's chilling. He's vibing. But yeah, no, I mean, that's what I got for the 2000s. I thought I'd have a lot more. I'm not going to lie. I've also made the bonus segment a much shorter, more palatable, because I feel like the bracket was great.
That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that. But like, yeah, I did not think that we'd go that long on it either.
I really thought we were good until he came out with the bracket. And we
had to like the bracket really was tough, right? Like, I loved that because I feel like I made the matchups really well, and like it challenged you guys to kind of pick those.
I mean, so. I guess like one thing that we can add on here is what was y'all's favorite game during the 2000s? Halo 3?
I don't even have to mention it. Halo 3. Like, that was the last time that I was like socially open to people, right? Like, that's back when I was like, you know, this young kid playing. I just wanted to be in the game. Like, people talk trash. You're like, yeah, no, you're probably right. Whatever, don't care. I'm still playing. I'm chilling. I'd make friends. You know, a lot of older gentlemen wanted to play with me. It was fun at the time. It seems weird now. Shut up. Don't look at me like that. But yeah, no, the online experience, that's when they introduced like the Halo Forge where you could make your own maps. See, I used to play customs for so long, and now you can't get me to play anything that's not ranked and or official. I need it in my life to be like, it has to be on record that I did something or else it didn't really happen. Now did it. So like everything I play to this point is now like super competitive or super well documented. But Halo 3 for me is this era, is this time frame, like that, like sports games, because I started getting more and more into them. Like FIFA was a big one for me. Madden, I'm okay at. Like, I like football, but I'm not the GOAT at Madden. I don't even like, because those guys take it super serious. But Thomas, yeah, I feel like you're right behind me on that one.
Yeah, I pick a Halo. I mean, that's where I was. I mean, if it wasn't there, it was sports games.
Modern Warfare 2 was huge.
Modern Warfare 2 was huge. That was my second. In a lot of hours. Prestige.
Just got re-released on Game Pass, if you're a member of the Game Pass organization, for PC Game Pass.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not sponsored yet, but we'll get there.
Dude, hey, I'm plugging people. If I plug it, trust that I support it mentally. Yeah. Like, whether they pay mentally, me or not.
Spiritually, yeah.
Right. Well, I'm never going to be the guy that's going to sell you, like, I don't know, miniature vegetables or something that I don't support, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. I love those videos on TikTok. The little miniature, like, they make food out of miniatures. They get me every time. That carpet cleaning, like the rug cleaning, I can watch those for hours.
You're really telling your age here.
Right.
What do you mean? Bro, tell me you can scroll past a rug cleaning video.
That's neither here nor there. But I'm going to have to agree with you on Halo 3.
Neither here nor there.
Such a great game. Especially like with the whole tournament aspect, you know, coming into it, bringing so many people together, you know, just to play these games, you know, with such a huge prize pool. And I feel like, you know, all these different games, you know, Modern Warfare included, Halo 3 with all these tournaments going on, is what kind of set the stage for, you know, EA and the huge tournaments we have nowadays.
Josh, I have to do a 90s quiz because I assume Thomas will know this one. Okay. ASL, tell me what that means.
No way he knows.
No way you don't know, bro. No way you don't know. Okay, so for those that are maybe, nope, that is American Sign Language, but that's not what I'm talking about. This is the early 2000s. So there was a wave that hit the world. It was like chat rooms. And like this is like late 90s, early 2000s. I used to spend a weird amount of time in these chat rooms just talking to random people, working on my interpersonal skills. You always like, you know, you mob into a chat. You're like, hey, guys, what's up? My name's Ghostface Killer 69420. Because you had to pick something really cool, right? Obviously.
Right.
That sounded dangerous. What do those numbers
mean to you, Ghostface?
You know, just it's a mathematical equation. It equals peace. Okay.
That's like another way of saying pi.
Makes
sense. Yeah, no. It's actually T9 for peace, 69420. But do you know what T9 is, Josh? No, good Lord. Anyways, he is a lost cause. But no, ASL is age, sex, location. Every time you pop into a chat, people are like ASL, and you're like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not 12. I'm 17, male, you know, wherever I'm at, right? You know, because I wasn't old enough to lie at that point about my location. I was smart. But
you're like, lucky. You're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you. But no. So T9, Thomas, would you like to, you know, tell the world what T9 was?
No, you're hot. Go ahead.
Oh, come on. T9 is how we old heads used to text when you had the 9
key deal.
And you had to click 5-6 times to get a letter, mm-hmm. or 9 2 times to get a Y.
Make a beat out of it, really, which I thought was really cool.
Make a beat out? What are you talking about?
Yeah, because each number produced a different sound, which I thought was really cool.
I wouldn't pay attention to that, dog. Yeah. I wouldn't pay attention to that. I was just texting, and that's how you had to get down before they came out with like the Sidekick and all those other cool phones. Because back then, and you had your like Nokia brick phone,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah. Or your dad's, not my dad, but your dad's hand-me-down Nextel.
I had a Juke. That's what I had. I feel like that was after the fact.
I had a Sidekick, yes.
Oh, must be nice.
I got it, but I didn't have a PS2. Look, we all had different struggles, okay? Thomas probably had an iPhone before anybody else did.
Maybe in this room, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I got in there pretty early in the game, and I've been pretty faithful. I know you guys like to have your space phones that, you know, you can talk to somebody on Saturn. No,
I
got an
iPhone now, dude. I gave up the fight. Like, I'm just like, iPhones are simple. They don't produce things that'll break. Like, all your Android lovers, you know, you got phones that'll blow up in your hand.
It's overpriced, though. For what?
What's overpriced?
The iPhone.
No.
Yeah, I think it is.
So Josh had a story earlier, and I also had one. Didn't know where it fell. Had to do a little research. So gaming and how it's like, you know, been a part of everybody's lives, right? So Warhammer 40K, PC game.
Nerd.
Not for me. Never played it. But cool story behind it. They're coming out with a movie. Henry Cavill's been pushing it. Huge fan. Plays the game.
Yeah.
Turns out there was a story that I heard not too long ago. He got the call for Superman, which came out 2013. Like, hey, you want to audition for this role, whatever. He missed that phone call because he was too busy gaming, playing Warhammer 40K.
Yeah. Yeah,
so almost didn't become Clark Kent. Superman.
Yeah, right.
The best Superman. Now, I don't care what this other guy's doing. The best Superman.
About that game, if you want to annoy all your friends, call it Warhammer 40,000. Because 40K is the accepted vernacular, but if you call it Warhammer 40,000, they'll try and get you to say 40K. Just be really stubborn about it. It'll piss everybody off. They did a re-release or a newer game for 40K. And like my buddy Devin was playing, and I hopped in. I was like, oh, what is Warhammer 40,000? Well, everybody says Warhammer 40K. So, but it's 40,000. And we went back and forth. So it's a fun tidbit about Warhammer, right?
Nice. I guess before everything's done and over, shout out to Fallout as well. That's something that we didn't cover. That was a great game.
Shout out to Fallout. I mean, you could speak on it. You don't just have to throw them out there. Like, hey, Fallout made games too.
it was a good game. You know,
what is Fallout to the viewers who can't see the picture you're holding up right now?
No picture, actually. But it is
exactly. But still,
it is a open world map where you have to traverse after a whole nuclear explosion and all these alien mobs get genetically mutated because of everything that's going on. Great game. The fact that, you know, you have to go through all this radiation and the fact that this radiation actually affects you and stuff. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, you got rad rats. Yeah, be careful with the rad rats.
Yeah, no,
Fallout's a super good franchise if you're into the RPG realm, which is role-playing game, as always. They did come out with a new show. It was on, like, Peacock or one of those side services, not like Netflix or Hulu. But, like, yeah, they did a show. The show is great. The show is beautiful.
Yeah.
It had, what's his name, Walter Goggins. That dude does pretty good work. He himself said the sequel is better than any other sequel he's ever seen. But, you know, he's in it. So, like, can't knock him for, like, promoting the show. Right? Like, you got to. You got to, like, back the blue on that one. So, I get it. However, I like the first season. So, and you know, with a new show, you got to, like, build. And then you get into the stuff. So, season two should go right into it, like, rocking and rolling. I will say, we didn't touch on it as much this week, but like for movies, music, TV, things like that, Fast and the Furious was given to us in the early 2000s. And like, I'll be honest, I'm a mark. I watch all the Fast and Furious movies. I like cars. I've always liked cars. And that is a movie about cars, or it used to be. Now they're like special agents that go into space. I believe they took a Pontiac Fiero into space. So that's impressive in itself. However, that's something I have to point to. Also, as Josh mentioned, May the 4th is today, and the first three episodes of Star Wars came out in the 2000s, like the early 2000s, which I preferred over this Skywalker saga or whatever they called it, the new one. So,
yeah, fair enough.
Do you guys have any music or TV, some Chumbawamba you want to talk about?
I guess for movies I liked in the 2000s, you have a Zathura, more of a family movie.
I don't know what you just said.
the audience will know. But
Zathura? No, the audience will not know.
I'm
show
sure
of hands.
I'm
show
sure
of hands, audience.
I'm sure they will. But besides that, No Country for Old Men. That was a great
That's
movie that came
better,
out.
Better, but even still very niche.
Well, those are my picks.
Well, what's your next pick? Wind Talkers?
Wild. But, you know, some nice movies that came out in the 2000s that I felt were pretty good. I mean, you had Lord of the Rings that came out too.
Right.
But then again, those were long movies.
And, of course, Thomas hadn't even mentioned it, but The Birth of the Houston Texans. 2002, damn. Baby.
It was music and movies. You know,
Look,
you had your Houston sports. Y'all. Look, it's very rare that anybody gets to see their team was born in this era. You were alive to see it. Some people have just been fans from well before they were born, and their team still sucks. Shout out Packers.
Wow.
They only won a Super Bowl. No big deal.
A one? No, they won more than one. But we won't get into that because the Texans are going to go get one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, outside of that, that's all I got, boys. You got any last words? Any final thoughts?
Can say that I do.
Thomas is still single.
Wow.
Look, hey, I got to market it somehow.
The 2000s were a really great era. You know, great movies, great games. A lot of the music, we didn't talk about music, but music is still being sampled. I mean, some of the legends that are legends now are because they were doing their thing in the 2000s. I mean, I don't know where music would be without a lot of those guys.
I sampled all of Thomas's music off of his Zoom, so I gotta default to him.
That's the era that I prefer. I think now get a little off the rails with some of the hip hop stuff like that. So
He don't like that mumble rap.
Definitely do not. Yeah, definitely fair enough. Words are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if that's everything, boys, that'll do it for the Whiskey Sticks in the early 2000s. Check back with us next week. We're going to get into the 2010s. And I'm not getting excited with every next episode on this era story because it's closer and closer to what I'm doing today. So it's pressure on the mind. I'm battling with myself as to how to follow up the era story, but I'll figure that part out. But outside of that, that's all from the Whiskey Sticks. Until next week, boys.
Y'all take it easy.
Later.